Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's all about the macro productions.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
I am Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff to German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rumble, band.video, Vigilante TV, now YouTube, we're back. If you find a channel with 7,000 people, that's us. Or you're listening wherever podcasts are served. Thank you so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support over the years. Macroaggressions.io is the best place to find out everything that I'm doing. If you don't have the audiobooks yet, I don't know, consider getting The Octopus of Global Control on audiobook. It's almost 24 hours of audio. We'll keep you going for a while. Check it out. We appreciate our sponsors because they help the show to happen. And so I got to have good ones. And I do. Chemical Free Body and Tim James and the company over there has been with me since the very beginning. Green 85 is a part of my life now. It just is. I just drink it every day. It's so easy to do. You got to do the detox bundle. I'm very enthusiastic about this because I've done it twice and I know it works. And I know there's a lot of stuff out there that does not work. So when you get something that you know is going to give you results, you know, I'm talking about it. So do the detox bundle. If it's 90 days, it's Green 85 in the morning and just a handful of capsules, four different types of capsules. It's really easy to do, but you have to decide that you want to do it. So it's really up to you. Go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro and just do some shopping. See what you think. Also, I'd check out the Water Hero system. For sure. It's a structured water. You can install it on your house if you've got the money to do that. It's kind of expensive, but I think probably well worth it. And they also have a filter pitcher system. Check that out too. So it's all happening over at chemicalfreebody.com/macro. And also, if you haven't signed up for Legal Shield yet and you wonder why I keep going on about this, it's because it's just the best money you'll ever spend. It's just like, you spend $30 a month, you'll have an attorney. You can do all kinds of things with this. You've got to get your paperwork squared away immediately. Get your last will and testament done. Nobody likes to think about it. I get it. You don't want to do it. But the time to think about this stuff is not when you're in a medical, is not in a some sort of medical situation. You're not in a hospital bed. You don't want your medical directive documents to be finalized while you're sitting in a hospital bed. That stuff needs to be done in advance. The best thing you can do, knock it out now. You can do it with Legal Shield in the first month, right? Go to don'tgetpushedaround.com. That's the website. take a look, see what you think. They have other things too. Identity Shield, small business plan. If you run a small business, if you carry a gun, they have documentation for that. There's quite a bit going on over there. If you've never had access to a lawyer before, what you'll find is that the playing field gets a little bit more level when you bring your lawyer into situations like that. So please use this for good, not evil. But if you're interested in getting representation for a reasonable amount, Legal Shield is honestly the best place to do it. So go to don'tgetpushedaround.com and find out what I'm talking about. Well, I want to talk about what is happening currently in our digital world because I'm nervous about it. I'm not trying to freak people out. You know, I don't think we make good decisions coming from a place of fear. So let's just get honest about it, what we're facing. I've got some news and stats for you. What a surprise. I'm going to break it down into a couple different sections so that when we're talking about this digital new world order, it's not limited to just, I don't know, your computer screen. You know, you think that maybe I'll just turn the computer off and then all the digital problems will go away as well. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Maybe it was at some point. Maybe you could just shut it all down and go out into the woods and walk away. It's changed. I mean, I encourage people to do that to the extent that you can. But if you think you're going to drift off and not get captured in this digital net, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to do that, to really escape. But I want to talk about the communication components to this. I want to talk about health, how the digital push is infiltrating our health. It's going to be sold to us as a benefit, of course, but I have questions. I will talk about banking. I definitely want to talk about privacy. It's a huge factor in this digital world. We behave differently when we know we're being observed. We all do. Everybody does. So, and lastly, I want to talk about the military component. And we're not necessarily in this order, but it's, you know, our dependency on technology has turned out to be our Achilles heel, really. We're almost better off in the days when it was a level playing field where nobody had a cell phone to call home and tell mom you were going to be late. You know what I mean? We're all going to get busted. We're you know, the street lights are on. We're supposed to be home, but we're not. And you couldn't call mom back then, right? So you just deal with the situation with the current technology. But everything's digital now. You know, for better or for worse. Well, maybe not everything, but it seems as though everything is digital. And there's wonderful tools everywhere. I'm not trying to be Amish, though the Amish are pretty awesome. We must admit that the Amish have it right. But, you know, I'm not trying to be a Luddite. I'm not trying to say, like, oh, I can't have technology around me. You know, I'm not trying to go Ted Kaczynski, but the technology is kind of pushing me there. You know what I mean? Like, wonderful tools everywhere and a couple of scary ones that make it all questionable, you know? Is this really worth it? Yeah, I've got a digital computer. I've got a computer in my pocket that's more powerful than the computer on board the Apollo missions. You know, the ones that went to the moon. Hell, I had more power in my pocket calculator in the third grade than they had in that mission. So that didn't happen. So we've got technology. We cannot put the genie back in the bottle, no matter how much we would like to. So I think it's time to pay attention to this. It's been time for a while, but let's get honest about what we've got, what's coming, what these people are working on. The communication side of things, I think we've seen growth, a real dystopian growth in that communication being, or communication or lack thereof, because what you can do with the digital realm is make it so that people can only communicate with certain people and or maybe get the impression that they're reaching a much larger audience, but in actuality, you've been put into some sort of like cul-de-sac, social media cul-de-sac where nobody actually hears you. So, you know, if they can control these five segments, communication, health, banking, privacy, and military, in the digital world, then it's over for humanity. And I'm not trying to be black-pilled or anything like that. But if those people, if I was in control of it, I wouldn't want it. But if somebody waved a magic wand and put me in charge of all this stuff, I don't think the way they think. My incentive structure would be different than the people who are in charge of the world or the governments right now. So, they would use this power poorly. They'll use it to enslave humanity. They'll use it for the worst possible reasons. And it's a damn shame, too, because we have the ability to make this a better world because of the advances in technology that we have. And I'm not trying to shit all over that. In fact, some of the advances, the ability for me to do this show is a result of massive improvements in technology over the last 20 years. I can't get mad at that. I can't shake my fist at the sky and say, how dare you with this evolution of technology? However, I do think it is our responsibility to be aware of where things can go wrong so that if they start to take that turn, we see it coming well in advance. And so let's talk a little bit about the communication component of this with regard to this digital new world order that they would love to put us into. And I think we need to get honest with something right off the bat. All hardware devices are compromised at the root level by the CIA, the NSA, or Unit 8200. All of them, right? You may say, well, I know my cell phone is compromised, but, my router isn't. Your router is. It's all of it. It's your computer. It's your phone. It's your tablet. It's your smart device. It's your router. It's your car. It's all of it, unfortunately. It's all watching you, and it's all feeding information back to somebody or some corporation, some consortium of corporations, some network of groups, and then, of course, at the root, the intelligence agencies. We've done episodes on Vault 7 here before. If you are in any way unsure or maybe doubting me talking about how compromised the technology is, we don't have time to unpack it on this episode because we've done an episode that was all about it. Go find the one from maybe 2 years ago about Vault 7, and you will be mortified at the sort of technology that these guys have to control your communication. When you understand that the routers themselves are compromised, and on your consumer router, I'm not even talking about the major routers, they're obviously compromised as well, but you're being watched the whole time. Now, again, it depends on how you internalize this. A watched pot never boils, right? That's what they say. You watch a guy in a prison cell on a closed circuit TV, and they go back and forth and back and forth like lions in a cage, right? Just back and forth. You watch somebody do something, or if somebody knows that they're being watched, their behavior has to change. This is the double slit experiment. It's like when your attention and your focus is on something, by its own, just the act of placing your attention on something causes the universe to change, right? So the focus on somebody causes their behavior to change. If you know you're being watched, we're being watched. Now, you don't think about that every time you send a text message or make a phone call because you would make yourself insane. But, thumb drives, by the way, if you ever go to like a trade show or something and they're giving out free stuff and some company is giving a branded thumb drive with their logo on it, hey, it's a, 250 megabyte thumb drive. We're giving them out for free. Don't put that in your computer ever. Do not put that in your computer. All of those thumb drives are bugged, or however you want to describe it, infiltrated. All of them are by Israelis. Israeli companies. So, right, so do not ever put one of those freebie, well, any of them. They're all compromised. You are being watched, okay? They're not going to tell you the level of the, you can dig it out. You can find it in some of the, you have to go real deep into the journals to find out exactly what this capability is. And even still, you might not know. But this technology exists. The VPNs that you're hiding behind, oh, they're not going to know where I am because the VPNs are all infiltrated. Okay. Well, I shouldn't say that. Most of the VPNs are infiltrated. How about that? That's a little bit more accurate. Most of them are infiltrated. Most of them are owned by Israeli firms. Okay. You can't trust the commercial grade stuff, right? You put an Alexa in your house, I mean, you know what's going on there. This is inviting the NSA into your house. I mean, they've already invited themselves in. Don't open the door. Don't let the vampire in, you know? Might be time to buy an Above phone. Might be time to go to check out Above phone or an Above laptop too. You know, they're sponsors of the show. And Hakeem Anwar has been on here before. He's a partner of mine over at the Independent Media Alliance. This is an area where I'm deficient. I'm not a tech guy. I don't know the limits. I don't know what can and can't be done. I'm just going to assume the worst, of course. But somebody like Hakeem Anwar knows the details of what they're able to track and what they're not. And that's, of course, that's the reason why Above phone exists. So I would, and I have one, right? They're awesome. They're awesome phones. They're Google Pixels, de-Googled phones that are loaded up with all this amazing. Well, go back and watch the interview I did with Hakeem Anwar, or just go to Above phone and check it out yourself, because this is what we have to do. The idea that we could sit back and go, well, I hope things get better. You know, that's just so reactive. It just feels like such a bad strategy. You know, you're going to have to take control of this. And again, there's something, there's some components they're just going to find. They're going to see, they're going to watch what you're doing. You can't be invisible all the time. But if you recognize, and at least understand where this information is going, then maybe you'll change your behavior. I mean, maybe you have, like, you know, the Ring doorbell cams, that's owned by Amazon now. And they're storing data on AWS servers, Amazon Web Services. And so, and this information on the Ring cameras is, you know, important. Who's coming and going at your house? What's going on the street? You know, it sees the street a little bit, right? Amazon is a government contractor. You understand, right? I mean, don't get fooled by like the retail component of this. Like, yeah, you can get yourself a pack of razors sent to your house in an hour, you know, if you want. But Amazon's doing other things too. Their web servers, besides being a massive moneymaker, are just a perfect opportunity for them to manage what's going on in the world, to see what's happening. Now, is Amazon going to use all this information to target a drone strike against your house? Probably not. But this consumer behavior information is so valuable. It's the entire reason why Google exists as a business. They made so much money from their targeted advertising, because if you know how people behave online and what they're looking for, you can serve them up answers or, you know, solutions to their problems. So when Google knows what, you know, has all the information on you, you can sort of set your mind at ease by saying, with the same argument that you would use for Amazon, well, it's just giving me better ads, customized ads based on what I'm looking for. I've been looking for used cars. I've been talking about used cars. Now, all of a sudden, what are the ads on the side of it? They're used cars, you know? So if it was only that, it would be intrusive, but understandable. Targeted advertisements based on my marketing degree, man. If you could target ads based on that, there's nothing inherently wrong. That's building a better mousetrap. The problem is that information doesn't stay with Google. It doesn't stay with Amazon. Google and Amazon are military contractors with the government. That's important to know. So it's not like, oh, it's just Walmart. They just know that I like to buy a lot of raisins every time I go, whatever it is, like whatever your thing is. Yeah, it is that, but it's getting compiled somewhere. And they're developing an understanding of who you are and what you do and where you go and what you buy and when you buy it and why you buy it. And if they can build this image of you, a digital voodoo doll, a composite, a digital twin, as they call it, and they can know about you online and what your behavior is, this is the reason why they say that these models that they use can, with pretty high accuracy, determine what you're going to be doing next Wednesday at 3 o'clock. They know what your schedule is. They know what your pattern is. Your Wi-Fi is picking up readings in your house of where your body is based on where the signals bounce back and forth and coming and going. You're always in this one room. Is that your office or are you dead in the bed somewhere? You know, been in this room a long time, hasn't moved. Maybe he's dead. Maybe he's working. I don't know. We know the inside of your house. We've mapped it with our routers. You know, that stuff exists. Currently, they don't talk about it, but it's out there. So, you know, it's important for us to, I think, talk about it, not to freak ourselves out, but to be aware of it and say, okay, this is out there. This is what's happening. I should do X, Y, and Z differently because of this, or it doesn't impact me. I don't care. You know, whatever it is. But narrative management is a huge priority in this. And so their ability to impact the communication component is going to be critical. I think we understand that. We have questions about some of the so-called privacy apps out there. What about Telegram? You know, oh, I'll use Telegram because at least it's not Gmail. Well, I mean, how much did Pavel give up in France when they brought him in? Did he give up the code? Did he give up did he put a back door in there? Where are we with this? Can we trust it? I would assume no. Assume no. Don't assume yes. I may be wrong. I may be totally private. But what about Signal? It's got your phone number, right? So if it's got your phone number, basically it's IDing you every time, right? I don't know the ins and outs of the details of the privacy component, but doesn't sound too private to me if it's going off of your phone number. I mean, none of it does. None anything that's asking you for a phone number, but same with Telegram. You ask me for my phone number, then you know who's got that phone number account. And it won't be too much of a hop to figure out who I'm talking to. So I like, you know, we had John Snyson on. We've had him on many times from OuterNet. What about that? What about this solves the problem of direct communication between people? I think something like OuterNet will probably, obviously there's a huge need for it. Demand will be astronomical for it. I wonder if somebody sees this product and realizes how goddamn dangerous it is for the establishment to have something like OuterNet that bypasses, I don't know. I hope they don't find out about it until it's too late. And I hope John and the team are able to develop this and build it out to a point where you can't stop it. What about the other sort of control of information? When you just buy the company and control it that way, like Larry Ellison buying TikTok. And on top of that, Larry Ellison, who is CIA / Mossad, he is a hardcore Zionist. He's been working with the CIA since 1977. His company, Oracle, is named after the CIA's Project Oracle. They're a CIA front company masquerading as a publicly traded company. And Larry Ellison is one of the wealthiest men, at least on paper, in the world. So he can buy whatever he wants. He can afford whatever he wants. He's not doing this for the money. If you wanted to make more money, you would just keep your Oracle stock as Oracle stock, and you wouldn't be trading it in to buy shitbags like CNN. He's in discussions to acquire Warner Brothers, HBO, and CNN. Now, CNN has no value, but it doesn't matter. When you've got $400 billion... you can buy whatever you want, including Warner Brothers, HBO, and CNN. So is he doing this to make money? No, Larry Ellison's got all the money he could ever need. And if he wanted to make money, he would literally do nothing and sit on his Oracle stock because that's the best investment ever. It's way better than buying HBO and CNN. Maybe you'll make money, maybe you won't. If I own Oracle stock, I do nothing and let it go up. So, and I've owned Oracle's, I've off and on owned Oracle stock back in like the early 2000s. So it's been going on for a long time, right? This is a well-known company. His daughter, Megan Ellison, has been producing movies in Hollywood for a long time. Movies like Zero Dark Thirty. Interesting. And Vice. Who produces that? Who gets the money? Who makes these things? Who makes Zero Dark Thirty, a propaganda piece about the military-industrial complex? Who makes that? Who gets that project greenlit? Well, Megan Ellison comes on as a producer. So it's done. You got all the money in the world there, right? So this is the direction that they're going. Take control of the communication. All right, let's move on to... let's move on and talk a little bit about privacy. And because this is something that's going to be a real problem. And we'll talk about it initially in regard to 15-minute cities. Because this is, most people would know them as smart cities. You'd hear that as a, and they're part of a much larger global governance network, as public-private partnership investment strategy. But 15-minute cities, that's what C40 Cities Network calls them, which is a United Nations group. But they have other names. The United Nations calls 15-minute cities something else. It's a very loving term. They call them human settlements. Really? Human settlements? Yikes. Any kind of human? Subhuman settlements? What are we talking about here? Just human settlements. Yeah. Well, that's the United Nations for you. But the idea of privacy in a 15-minute city is going to be, well, it's going to be challenging because there's a lot going on. I tell you, I would encourage you to read the Ian Davis article that he wrote for Unlimited Hangout. You can get it at Unlimited Hangout. You can get it at Activist Post. I republished it there as well. It's called City States Without Limits, Part 1. There will be a Part 2. I will put that on Activist Post when it's out. But it's important for us to understand the direction that they're going with regard to 15-minute cities. Now, there's maybe a belief that in a 15-minute city, they're going to put up some drapes 15 minutes away or some big wall or curtain, something to block out, like we're only staying in here. That's not actually how it's going to go. There's not going to be physical walls or barriers to keep people out. It will all be digital. And this is, again, this is the reason why we're doing this episode, because when you understand how the game will be set up, you'll see that they don't need to physically prevent you from going to these places. They can make it so that you choose not to go outside. And it might not be 15 minutes exactly outside of your city, but I think you understand. They want you in big cities and they don't want you outside of them. For obvious reasons, centralize the people, centralized control. That's what they want. So they're going to do things like they're going to redo zoning. We're starting to see this in Pacific Palisades, by the way, with the zoning fuckery that's going on there that I called. I mean, here I am patting myself on the back. I don't want it to happen, but I called this when with the Karen Bass episode that we did back in February about this. Once and again, it wasn't because I just speculated that I thought they were going to rezone. I read their documents, the City 2028 LA 2028 documents say that they're going to rezone things. I didn't pull it out of my ass. I read their work. That's why I knew. That's crazy. You say they're going to rezone Pacific Palisades and make it higher density, multifamily, all that stuff. Get the fuck out of here with that, you conspiracy theorist. Go watch. You know, remember Spencer Pratt from The Hills? Remember that dipshit? That dude is doing all kinds of work on the fire because his fucking house burned down and he's mad about it. And he understands that the government is involved in it. Here they are talking about rezoning Pacific Palisades right on schedule. This is part of a much larger agenda. Okay. Patchwork. You familiar with Patchwork by Curtis Yarvin? Curtis Yarvin is I put him in the same category as Alex Karp and Peter Thiel and Harari and all these guys that are talking about any of the old school technocrat guys who've been writing about Ray Kurzweil and these guys, all these tech bros, or well, they're not tech bros anymore, they're tech grandfathers, who've been talking about technocracy, sort of, not necessarily in the 1932 strain of technocracy, but a technological future in which they themselves control. And they, and all these guys have real questions about their sexuality too. Like they're all kind of, you know, should have their hard drives checked. Curtis Yarvin, Alex Karp, Peter Thiel, Harari, Sam Altman, all these guys need to have their hard drives checked. And when I say checked, I mean looking for children's porn on that. I think all these guys are closeted pedophiles. I don't know how many of them are actually in the closet when you get down into a social setting with them. I think it's well known. I think these are the wrong people to be in charge of the future. And I think what Curtis Yarvin's plan for private fiefdoms instead of nation states is, look, as much as I hate the government and like the idea of government going away, I'm not enthusiastically rushing into some futuristic endeavor that Curtis Yarvin is putting together, okay? No, thank you. That guy also wants everybody dead. He wants the age of consent lowered. He wants things reimagined. He wants society reimagined. He wants everything run by AI. He wants no voice or no vote for people. He wants no individual sovereignty. He's extremely authoritarian. How is this any different than the government? How is this any better than the government? It's not, of course. He talks about customers, not citizens. Again, what are you selling them? Are you going to sell them their freedom? Are they customers for freedom? He taught, it's digital feudalism. That's really where we're going here. And what their goal is, first of all, it's just no privacy at all. You don't need privacy. Why would you need privacy? Are you doing something you shouldn't be doing? Because you're going to be watched at all times, right? The goal is remove democratic oversight. Establish technological, oligarch-led dictatorships. That's what they want. Curtis Yarvin doesn't have a plan to make you free. He has a plan to make you a slave. That's what he wants. And listen, man, this whole group, Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, Mark Andreessen, Ben Horowitz, his partner, got a lot of questions about Ben Horowitz's past or his family's past. These are dangerous Zionists who see the world in a way that's incompatible with, I don't know, human freedoms. I mean, when you're talking about no individual sovereignty in this dystopian hellscape that Curtis Yarvin has dreamed up, I don't know how you sell this to the people. What's the sales pitch for this, Curtis? Customers, not citizens? Okay. So if I'm not a citizen, I don't have to pay taxes anymore? Is that what we're talking about? Or is it digitally going to be removed from my paycheck every time? I think the taxes will come out immediately. I think that this idea that these tech bros have about the future is just a dystopian hellscape that they would be in charge of. I think they've watched too many movies, frankly. you know, with regard to this, because they're in the tech world and we're talking about privacy, I mean, we don't have it. It's gone away. We made the deal with the devil. We gave up our privacy in exchange for the convenience of technology, and now we've become slaves. I mean, how do we have any privacy when they're currently data harvesting? There's monetization of all of our information, personal health data used to deny coverage. You know, we've got facial recognition cameras everywhere. We've got clear or real ID before you get on a plane. They know who you are. They're watching you. Now, does that mean throw your hands up and give them everything? Absolutely not. You make them work for everything. All your information, you make them work for it. You opt out where you can. You salt your information when you go through TSA and they tell you to look, hey, you know, check your ID, and then they want you to look in the camera. No, I'm opting out. If you read the sign below the camera, it says you can opt out. But of course, 20% of Americans can't even read. So, and the other 80% don't even care to read. So nobody's looking at the sign, at the fine print that says you may opt out. Because you may opt out, you have to opt out every time. Always opt out. Get everybody else to opt out. I would go in from Denver to LA, and I was going through security, and these ladies were watching me. They were in line in front of me. They were watching me opt out. I was like, no, don't do that. And you're like, okay. She's like, whoa, whoa, wait, you can do that? And then she was watching, they watched me opt out for the, not go through the scanner, make them do the, they were fascinated. They kept coming. What's your name? What books do you write? Tell me more about it. And they were so sweet. And I was like, you have to stand up for yourself. You have to do this. Make them get on their knees and grab your balls during the TSA right out in public. Do you want to go into a private room? No, we're doing this right here, baby. Right here. Get on your knees in front of everybody and do your job, you TSA goons. Go for it. And I have to say, on a side note, that they're always very nice to me when I go through. I don't get any hassles from them. Maybe they've improved the training. I don't know. But I do make them get on their knees in public and feel me up. I don't care about it. Like, it doesn't bother me. But I want the guy doing it to have to cry himself to sleep. I just, that's important to me. Again, this is not limited to the United States. If you're listening to this in the UK, you already know what I'm talking about. They want to search your social media before you go through customs. Have you been talking about the Queen, have you? Oh, I've been talking about way more than that. Wait till you get to my work on Jimmy Savile. Wait till you find what I've written about and spoken about with regard to Prince Andrew, not just Prince Andrew being a pedophile, but also his wife Fergie running a children's charity in London, where, what do you know, all the kids go missing. They're never going to let me in the UK if they get a hold of my social media. Holy shit, they'll put me in, I don't know, it won't be nice. That being said, I plan on going to the UK in 2026, so we'll test it all out. But this is how I see a 15-minute city actually playing out. Not the walls and fences or anything like that, but geotagged from your home. They'll know where your home is, right? And they just set a radius. Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 50 miles, maybe it's 100 miles, whatever, right? And maybe your credits and your CBDCs, your future money, maybe that just doesn't work outside of your designated area. Or maybe it works, but whenever you go to visit another area, because you're an out-of-towner, a calculation is made and the pricing and everything's 20% more expensive for you. Use your imagination. It could go a variety of ways. But you know, with dynamic surge pricing, you're starting to see that now. They talked about that at Wendy's, fast food place Wendy's. It's like, well, we were talking about looking at dynamic surge pricing. Oh, so if I want to get a double with cheese at noon, it's $8. But at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it's $6.50 because nobody's coming in at 3 o'clock to get a cheeseburger, right? So you start playing around with dynamic pricing. Like, it's cheaper to go shop for groceries at 3 o'clock in the morning because they've priced everything less than whatever. You can see where this is going. And this is already happening. This is, and so with a 15-minute city, let's just say that it's not so much that you can't leave. You could leave. It's just that the cost of doing so will be prohibitive. It'll be that the rich still travel because that, you know, a higher price to get to where you're going, that's just the cost of doing business. In fact, the way they see it, probably be better because at least the poors won't be flying with them, right? They don't want you flying. We've established that. And Sam Tripoli goes on Rogan. He starts talking about, they don't want you flying. Joe's like, what are you talking about? Sam's like, oh, let me unpack this for you. Let me explain. They don't want you traveling. They don't want you flying. They don't want you out of your city. And for now, it's just a suggestion. I think that at some point, they'll make it so that your social credit score or your bank account, or they'll make it as inconvenient as possible for you to lead a normal life. Speaking of that, let's transition into banking, because I think it's important we talk about this, because the banking is going to be so easy to control. If you get a CBDC or a stable coin in there and you get everybody to make a decision that that's where we're going, that's what we're using. I don't know what it is. It's USDC or it's Tether or it's maybe it's Bank of America coin, right? And you bank at Bank of America. So you get these Bank of America coins and that's how your money is counted these days. And you can use Bank of America coins for all kinds of things. Maybe you need to convert it into a stable coin first and then use that to do all your shopping. Whatever. It's going to go a variety of different ways. But what we need to understand is that he who controls the crypto rail system rules, okay? And the way it's set up, the Universal Ledger by the Bank for International Settlements is what they envision as the control mechanism for central banks moving forward. They are the central bank of central banks. As we've talked about before, laws don't apply. Quite literally, laws don't apply inside the Bank of International Settlements. It is the smallest city-state in the world. It's a autonomous zone, the Bank for International Settlements. And I say this as a lead up to, maybe don't trust the bank that is literally above the law. There are no laws. If you work for the Bank for International Settlements and you walk out of that building with a briefcase and the police are waiting there for you, they can't touch that briefcase. You don't pay taxes for the rest of your life. They can't touch your stuff. It's inviolable. That's what they call it. So that's the group that is in charge of the universal ledger that they want to be in charge of. If they create that and are in charge of it, then they win. You'll find ways around it with Monero and privacy-centric crypto coins like that. You may find other ways of conducting business with Bitcoin and things. I can envision a parallel system inside of a much bigger CBDC future, where the normies participate in the CBDCs because they're normies and they don't know to ask questions and they'll do what they're told. And so the system gets going that way. However, there's also, I don't want to call it a black market because it won't necessarily be too black, but it'll just be there's another way, there's another path towards conducting business that will be outside of that. Programmable money is the hill to die on, in my opinion, because once it gets introduced and normalized, it's over for privacy. We're already in a murky gray area where, if you want to get technical, your bank knows where you're spending money. Your credit card company knows where you're spending money. They know that you've signed up for Pornhub, right? Your American Express knows that. And that information is out there. And it's maybe in a database at American Express or it's in Visa or wherever. When you get all those talking to each other. When you get all the banks where that coin has gone, it's fully trackable and it winds up at you, and you can, and it can see where you, what you do with it. It's the end of privacy. And that's a huge thing to lose. It's like losing humanity. You have to have privacy. It's dehumanizing not to. And of course, that would be part of the plan, right? If you're operating under a government who hates your guts and wants you dead anyway, they've a long established track record of being disrespectful to you and dishonest and treating you poorly. And now they're going to be in charge of knowing what you're buying, where you're buying it, when you bought it, and how much you paid for it. Sorry. I'm not doing anything wrong. The irony is that I'm not doing anything wrong, but I don't care. It's none of your business to know what I'm doing. Spend cash, use your cash, use it or lose it. If we, you know, we're in a world currently where cash is a thing. Can you envision 30 years from now? What if there is no cash? Think of that. Think of how everything will be tracked, you know. Tokenization of assets. You'll hear that terminology that's being talked about now a lot, especially with regards to the banking components, like Larry Fink and the guys at BlackRock talking about the tokenization of assets. This is code for we're moving all these financial instruments on chain, online, on the blockchain, so that we can control them forever. That's what they're doing, right? They don't want to know just because they're curious. They're building a portfolio on who you are. And if you get on the wrong side of them, you know, they would prefer to turn you off. And they can do that very easily with this. Natural asset companies. Have you heard about that? If you haven't, you will start talking about, you go, what natural asset company? What is this? This is part of the public-private partnership that they're putting together, that they want to, and it's a crazy idea. They want to classify, categorize, and measure all of nature. And then they want to be in charge of it. The arrogance of these people knows no bounds, that they're going to come in here and be godlike, and they're going to count every leaf on every tree and put it in a database. Why? Who cares? What are you doing this for? So, and of course, I think you could understand where this is going with regard to digital money. I mentioned it earlier. You're going to deduct my taxes every year from my digital money? No, we're going to deduct your taxes every paycheck. The idea of April 15th, waiting for April 15th to get here, tax day, not in a digital world. Your taxes will be collected daily, probably. Every paycheck you get, they'll do it differently because they can. See, if they could have stolen all of your money years ago, they would have done it. The reason why they didn't steal all your money with the taxes isn't because they have some moral hangup about it. It's just the technology doesn't exist to do it yet. I'd like to remind everybody that the G7 passed bank bail-in legislation that legalized the stealing of your money. I don't know how many times I have to talk about this before people get it through their head. They legalized this because they intend to use it. Why else would you legalize it? They're going to steal all your money. They're going to do it. It's just a matter of when. And by the way, when they do it, it won't be called stealing all your money because it's legal. Just so you know. Social credit score. Talked about that, right? Dependent on access to funds. You know, what if Elon Musk has his way and he turns X into WeChat? Like he's talked about, like he's fantasized about doing. And your social media and your bank is kind of blurred. What would that look like? Well, if you're just watching cat videos all day, it would probably be sold to you as being more convenient. and one-stop shop, right? You got everything. Like, you're on your phone all day long anyway. You might as well have your bank connected to it and have it through your social media. And, you know, and you, and if you're a normie talking about the weather online, it's all good. If you're talking about the things we're talking about, well, then we've got a big problem, because they could not like a post I put, and not just put me in timeout. They could turn off my access. Maybe by putting me in timeout is, you know, oh, well, I don't get to shitpost the government tomorrow. But what if it's tied to your bank account? Then, like, you can't go to the grocery store, or you can't, you know, go to dinner, or you can't pay your bills or whatever. And maybe it's not a day. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's a month. Maybe it's forever. Maybe you made one too many posts about what Israel's doing, and they just turn you off forever. Now what? Like, this is the fantasy that they have. This is what they want. And again, I'm not speculating about this. You can listen to Larry Ellison talk about what happens when everybody's on their best behavior because there's full surveillance. Discounts available for compliance, you know? Like, they do this in China. The social credit system. If you have a high social credit score and you need to rent a bicycle, the bicycle is cheaper for you. Might even be free as a perk for having a high social credit score. If you have a low one, maybe you don't even get to rent the bicycle. They don't want to be associated with you. You renting a bicycle from them with your low social credit score is a stain on them. It infects them. Just allow your mind to go to these places for a little bit. This is the reason why I say this is the hill to die on when it comes to programmable money. The ramifications of this are dystopian, okay? You want to have debt cash for now, as long as you can, for what it's worth. You want to have gold. You want to have silver. You want to have junk silver. You know what junk silver is? Junk silver is the actual quarters, nickels, and dimes that were made in pre-mid-60s that are actually filled with silver. Those are spendable. You want Bitcoin. You want Monero. You want gold backs. You want bullets. I mean... You have to start thinking like a prepper. And we owe the preppers an apology, right? Because, because they're seeing what's actually going on, and they're planning accordingly. I mean, when you understand that we're in a future where your social credit, imagine this, your social credit score dictates the price that you pay for goods and services, you know? Like, white people excel at being compliant. When the government says you got to do this and we'll reward you, there's no better people than white people. My people are the most compliant around. This is, by the way, this is not a compliment. And this is most definitely not a compliment. So if you're going to have a contest, a social credit system, and rig it in a way so that compliance is a trait that scores high, think of how many, if all you need me to do is do what I'm told, think of how many people will excel at that. They've been waiting their entire lives for this. They've finally found their calling. We're going to need you to do exactly what we tell you to do. Sir, I'll do it so great that you'll want me to do it again. The black community, however, is going to have some problems with the compliance part. You're not getting discounts on the bicycles, guys, for being your compliance might not. I mean, I've watched the videos on Twitter. I'm just saying. That's funny. White people, be less compliant. I'm begging you, please. You're going to have to stay. This going along to get along is going to get us all killed. Okay, you got to stand up against these monsters and call them out. Let's talk about health, because health is going to be under surveillance, and it's a very, oh boy, that's a slippery slope here. You know, think of the data that you are already generating all day long just by walking around. They're talking about wearables. They're talking about brain chip enhancements, right? That's a trap for transhumanism. They're talking about, I can picture a scenario in the future where the sales pitch is, we've got all this amazing technological advancements in AI, and we can basically load in medical journals after medical journals and just dump it into this system. And then we've got the greatest doctor ever. He doesn't even get emotional about these decisions he has to make. You just tell the doctor, you plug in all the things, and the doctor and your, you know, your AI doctor spits out what the diagnosis is. So what a great future, right? We have all this technology, let's use it. But what about if the future is AI doctors for the poors and human/AI hybrids? I don't mean the people are hybrids, but I mean like you get a combination of AI healthcare and real human doctor healthcare. Maybe that's for the rich people. And maybe if you're poor, you get the AI doctor, right? They bring it in. This robot comes into your hospital room, tells you what you got, tells you what you need, tells you what the prognosis is, how long you're going to be there. They've run all the tests. They've done all this stuff, right? You get an AI. You go, this is great. I've got an AI doctor. But what if the treatment protocol is only one way, and that protocol benefits the pharmaceutical industry, but they don't tell you to go outside? Maybe the treatment, maybe you've got depression. Maybe the treatment is get outside in the sun and, you know, barefoot, walk around, do some grounding, get out in nature, go to a party, meet some people. What if that's the solution? That's not going to show up in the AI models, is it? It's going to be a vaccine. The solution to your depression is this new vaccine. So I worry about this. The sales pitch will be benefits, benefits, benefits. AI doctors coming to save you. All you poor people who are too poor to ever have a doctor, guess what? We've got R2-D2 is going to come in here and he's going to tell you about how you can improve your health. Brought to you by Pfizer. What could possibly go wrong? Brain chips, brain-computer interfaces. I mean, how technical do you want to go with this? The future of healthcare is going to be scary. CRISPR technology already exists. You want to monkey with genomes? You can do that now. Doesn't cost you. You can do that for $10,000. You could have done that for $10,000 10 years ago. I don't know what it costs now. Less than that, probably. CRISPR is retail genome editing. Think about the problems with that and take all the time that you need. Hey man, you want to come over on Friday night and help me tinker with these genomes? You want to smoke a bowl and then let's fuck with this guy's genomes. Let's see what we can do. I mean, I don't know. This could be fun. Could be dangerous. DNA-based vaccines, it's coming. 100-day vaccines are coming. Again, not my opinion that they're coming. You can go look at Welcome Leap. You can look at Welcome Trust. They're talking about their desire for 100-day vaccines. Start to finish, create the vaccine from nothing in 100 days. I don't know about you, but, well, I'm not in the market for vaccines. But if I were, take your time on those, boys. Go ahead and take 110 days if you need to. You know, I would, it's not a rush. We're not racing here. Yeah, I don't want discount brain surgery, and I don't want rush-to-market vaccines. You guys go ahead and take as long as you need on those things, okay? But we're getting into a world where we've got the internet of bodies, and that includes wearables, implantables, swallowables, and micro-injections. You know, the idea that you're going to swallow this digital pill, a small pill, digital pill, it's going to go through your system. It's going to come out in the back end. And while going through your body, it's going to be gathering data and then relaying that back to the person who's reading the printout. The opportunity for problems with this is so astronomical, I almost don't even know where to start. We'll start with privacy. You allow this to happen, a swallowable device that's emitting signals back and they map out the insides of your body, and that information goes to, let's say, your doctor. What do you think that information has just value to the doctor? Or do you think that information would be helpful to, oh, I don't know, General Mills Food Company, Marlboro, whoever? Anybody who is interested in what you're putting in your body would want to have a copy of that information. So not only will this digital information be available to your doctors and the companies that are making the chips, no doubt that information will be sold out the back door to corporations who are looking to mine that data for information about you, to figure out how to sell you more Twinkies and Marlboro Reds. And they'll figure it out. They'll know that you always eat Twinkies at 10 o'clock at night because that's your thing. And you're going to start getting Twinkie ads at about 9 o'clock on your phone. Okay, so you can just extrapolate out where this is going. I mean, it has the opportunity with these ingestibles, wearables, implantables to become digital scopolamine. You know what I mean? You know the powder? They blow the powder. You're in Bogota walking down the street. Some beautiful Colombian prostitute walks up to you. Hi, hola, ¿qué pasó? I don't know. Whew. They blow some white powder in your face, and then you're on ATM cameras later that night emptying your bank account. You have no recollection of that. You know that drug? Have you heard of that drug? Imagine digital scopolamine. You have no control over yourself anymore. The machine has taken control of your body, of your bank account, of everything. Let's wrap up with the military components for this because they're terrifying and alarming, but interesting as well. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. These tech nerds are going to get us all killed. Man, they do not want the same things that we want. And it's tough with entrepreneurs to get this through their head. But sometimes just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. And I have major worries about the morality of these people. You know, I don't trust them. I don't, and not for nothing either. When it comes to the military, let's talk about some of the companies involved in this. Are you familiar with Anduril? Palmer Luckey, it's his company. He's the guy who started Oculus Rift, sold it to Facebook for a couple bill, is working on all kinds of things. Now he started a company called Anduril. Anduril makes me nervous. Whenever these nerds start naming shit after like Tolkien and, you know, I start thinking, guys, you're fantasy nerds who are way into this stuff. Like, you do realize this isn't real, right? That the elven goddess of the hunt, Anduril, the fictional universe of Dragon Age, in Tolkien's world, it means Flame of the West, the Sword of Aragorn. These fucking nerds, right? They're making drone bombs and missiles to kill children. So you can be as cute with the name as you want, but you're all murderers in my boat. Peter Thiel, with naming all of his companies after Tolkien places or things, you know, and of course finding Anduril and what they're doing. You guys want to name these companies after mythological creatures or whatever and talk about how this is fantasy. This is real life for the families who are getting blown up by these bombs. And you can march Palmer Luckey and his mullet and his rain spooner Hawaiian shirt out into, you know, in an interview with 60 Minutes, make him just bro it up. And, oh, you know, it's just, I'm just out here in Costa Mesa doing, you know, I lived in Costa Mesa too. Never met anybody quite like you. Scumbags who enjoy killing children with their toys that they're making. Don't give these guys, don't put them on a pedestal. They should be shamed. They should be run out of polite society. Anytime they're giving a presentation about how great their company is, remind them that their company is in charge of killing children. And if they do their job really great with killing children, their stock price will go up to infinity. Just like Palantir's has. Let's talk a little bit about Palantir. Well, you know what? Let me finish with Anduril, just because we were on the topic. They make a product called Lattice Surveillance. And what Lattice Surveillance does is they make border towers. High-tech border towers. Like the kinds that you can just build right next to the Mexican-US border. And they have. Anduril was financed by Founders Fund, which is Peter Thiel. He was financed by Andreessen Horowitz, which is Mark Andreessen and Ben Horowitz. Ben Horowitz's father, like I mentioned, has questionable military ties to Israel. Should be concerning. Israel's money is all over this, which should be concerning. They raised $2 billion. They've been raising money all along, but they recently raised $2 billion at a $30 billion valuation. So this is not a small company. They've got $2.5 billion right behind it. They're going to take a huge piece of land right next to John Wayne Airport in Santa Ana, Orange County, I guess technically Costa Mesa, and they're going to convert that into airport hangars and their campus. They're building it out right now. Familiar with Project Maven? They were involved in it. This is 2018 started. It says AI and government combined for military purposes, battlefield management. Okay. Integrated visual augmentation systems is what they're talking about. Real scary stuff. And they're just getting bigger. Anduril is the next. Palantir makes software. Anduril makes hardware. That's maybe the best way to put it. Anduril makes these cargo containers. Think of a cargo container where the top opens up and a missile comes up and then you launch them. That's what they make. A missile that you can launch from the back of the bed of a Toyota pickup truck, one of those, or you can fold this thing, you can unfold this thing and put this missile out and launch it from anywhere. And it'll, you know, you can go to Anduril's website. It's all retail. Not retail in the sense that you and I can buy it, but retail for governments, they can pick this stuff up. Go look at their rockets, the stuff that they're making. It's all on their website. It's crazy. The direction that we're going is terrifying. And of course, I mentioned we're talking about Peter Thiel and Palantir. We have, and we will. I mentioned Anduril's a $30 billion valuation. Palantir's valuation, as of yesterday when I looked it up, $413 billion. Okay, this is a massive company. It's up 1,700% since it went public 5 years ago. Okay. They're using something called Lavender. It's a targeting system. They've been using it in Gaza. It's a stain on humanity. I mean, Palantir, the whole company is. They hate humanity. They want the world destroyed. The people who are running these companies are transhumanists. Many of them are homosexual men with no children, never going to have kids. No stake in the outcome. No blood in the game, you know? Where you want to create a future world, but you don't have any kids that are going to live in it? You should be automatically disqualified for that. You have to have a stake in the outcome for this. If you're at that level and you're in charge, you're Alex Karp, or you're Peter Thiel, or you're Sam Altman, or you're Harari, and you're trying to drive the narrative of the future about what we will and will not accept, you're going to have kids. Sorry, I'm not going to take advice on the future from four predatory homosexual men. Not going to. Sorry. This is a huge problem. And of course, you combine that ideology with the bloodthirsty Israeli component of Larry Ellison and Oracle. Let's talk a little bit about that. Larry Ellison, founder of Oracle, CEO Safra Katz, Israeli. CIA Project Oracle, 1977. He's been working on this for 50 years. Okay. Project Stargate. Trump announced that at the beginning of the year. Day two, he announced Project Stargate. What was that? A $500 billion investment on AI infrastructure between Oracle, OpenAI, Sam Altman, and SoftBank for AI infrastructure. Can you see the direction this is going? Do you understand why I'm concerned about this digital New World Order? You know, if it requires them to put tanks on every corner in order to have control, it'll never work. But this does it differently. They don't need that. What they do need is our participation. So be as difficult as you can wherever you can. Salt your information everywhere that you can do that. Use cash. Go analog when possible. I know it's tough. You might want to act paranoid and make your moves now while you still can. But above all, refuse the digital prison. Hey, everybody, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with somebody that you think might like it. Rate the show. Give me 5 stars if you think I've earned it. Macroaggressions.io is the place to go. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you again soon.
Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.